from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Eric Westervelt. Some white supremacists in America today are turning to an old Norse religion called Odinism, embracing gods like Thor and Odin. Odinists have been convicted of 6 cases of domestic terrorism since 2001. That isn't a surprise to Daryl Johnson, a former Homeland Security domestic terrorism analyst.
Extremists tend to hijack these religions and these beliefs and adopt them into their worldview and use them as justification for carrying out violent attacks.
We'll discuss the rise of Odinism among white supremacists. Then at 10:30, we'll talk with Stanford Nobel laureate Carl Wieman, who's trying to improve how universities teach. That's all coming up on Forum after the news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Eric Westervelt with NPR, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Welcome to this hour's Forum. In this segment, how an ancient Nordic religion is inspiring a new generation of white supremacists. Racists who believe Christianity has been diluted by non-whites are embracing this ancient religion, more commonly known as Odinism, where worshippers turn to Norse gods like Thor and Odin. According to a new report by Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting, those who proclaim to be devout Odinists have been convicted of 6 domestic terrorism attacks since 2001. Will Carlos, a correspondent for Reveal, went out into the field to report on this branch of white supremacists, even attending one of their rituals in Illinois, which you're hearing right now.
Birds, trees, plants, mountains, lakes, and rivers.
Will Carlos is here in studio to talk about his findings and explain why this religion is holding sort of wider appeal right now for white supremacists today. Welcome, Will. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
So, I mean, in your reporting, you were able to get some direct access to some of these white supremacists. Tell us first, you know, how you found out about what they believe and how they practice this religion, how they're using it today.
Yeah, so it took a while. I mean, I was actually invited to two separate, they're called bloats, B-L-O-T's, which is sort of an ancient word for blood, and that's their ritual. I was invited by a couple of different groups who I mainly got in touch with through Facebook, actually. Mm. A lot of these guys are very active on Facebook. That's how they recruit followers and kind of arrange meetings. And then both of the other two people that invited me then kind of said, actually, we don't want you coming along, and we've had a vote and we don't want you there. And then finally was invited to this one out in Illinois. I mean, basically what these guys believe, they believe in it runs the gamut, right? I mean, people have there are sort of very devout people, and then there are people who just kind of are interested in this from a philosophical viewpoint. But it stems from these ancient readings that are called the poetic Eddas, which is sort of the Bible to a certain extent for this religion. They believe in the pantheon of gods from Thor and Odin and Freya, and essentially they're, as you said in your intro, they're interested in this because it's a religion of and for the white race is why they're kind of mainly attracted to it.
They feel like Christianity has lost its way and been diluted.
Exactly. I mean, every Odinist and I should say from the get-go, every racist Odinist is Odinism itself and the broader sort of religion of heathenism and it's also known by Asatru, is, you know, we're talking about a small subset of people who have completely co-opted this religion. Yeah,
who've hijacked this with their own racist agenda.
Right. I want to make that absolutely clear from the start. The vast majority of heathens out there are not interested in white supremacy, haven't got a racist bone in their body. But what these guys, these guys have come at it sort of thinking, well, most of them are former Christians who've come away from Christianity because they see these ideas of forgiveness, of turning the other cheek as weak, as basically they see that the white race is under attack. Mm. They believe that there's a kind of a white genocide going on, and turning the other cheek isn't going to stop that. Whereas Odinism, Odinism rewards people, at least in theory, for dying on the battlefield, and that's what these people sort of see as a more worthwhile and a better way to live your life.
Will, from that sound we heard at the beginning, I mean, were you out in a field somewhere? Were you in a basement? Were they, drinking from a gourd. Tell us what you saw there.
So we were originally planning to be out in a field, out in the woods, which is where these bloats normally take place. We actually ended up, it was a miserable rainy day in southeastern Illinois. So we ended up being in this guy's kind of basement of his ramshackle house on the outskirts of Centralia, Illinois. And yeah, very, very strange scenes. I mean, as I've been a reporter for a long time, and I mean, this was kind of an odd one, you know, to walk into this dimly lit basement where, yeah, they're drinking meat out of a horn. They've got, you know, various accoutrements, you know, a sword that they use in the ritual. Walked into this guy's basement and there's a huge Nazi flag on one wall and a big portrait of Adolf Hitler on the wall. And then these people in sort of cloaks. And it was all very, very unusual.
We're talking with Will Carlos, correspondent for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. You can check out his story at revealnews.org. There's also a link on our website, kqed.org/forum. Will, I'm wondering, you know, what did your reporting find out about what Odinism is offering these racists that traditional KKK or neo-Nazi ideology and belief systems doesn't? Or is there a lot of crossover?
No, there's definitely crossover. I mean, a lot of these people... They see themselves, as do, incidentally, a lot of white supremacists. I mean, they see themselves as kind of philosophers. They see themselves as the only people who are really thinking about this stuff. And they've kind of, you know, a lot of them are very into, you know, they'll read a lot of Nietzsche. They'll read people like Francis Palmer Yockey, who wrote a big screed in the 40s, very, you know, kind of that is like a sort of a racist Bible. And they come across this, they become very sort of philosophically devout. And then that in turn tends to lead into a spiritual belief. Some of them become Christians. Some of them become this group called Christian Identity, go into Christian Identity, which is a whole different kettle of fish. And some of them, you know, this Odinism kind of really strikes a chord with them. And they see beauty in it. They see pride in it. They see protectionism and kind of these noble tenets of sort of fighting for one's people is what they're really attracted to.
We're talking about the religion of Odinism and white supremacy. What questions do you have? We're with Will Carlos with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Call us at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. This is a half-hour segment. Get in touch with us as well on Twitter or Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. And Will, you report that this strain of Odinism was spread in part through the prison system. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of the reasons I think why this isn't that visible. I mean, apart from the fact that you know, there aren't that many of these people. I mean, there are probably a few tens of thousands of them. But this is actually very, very active within the prison system. Actually, back in 2009, I believe it was, there was a Supreme Court decision which gave Odinists and followers of Asa Tru, these heathen religions, equal rights to other more mainstream religions. So, for example, one of the things that came out of that case was that Odinists are allowed to wear pendants of Thor's hammer around their neck. The only thing you're allowed, the only jewelry you're allowed in prison is a wedding ring and then a religious pendant around your neck. So these, you know, so that's part of it. But also there's a lot of suspicion within the federal, especially the federal prison system, that, mm-hmm. that white supremacists have kind of taken over this religion and are using it as a sort of a smokescreen to get together and to talk hateful things and to talk about the things that they believe in, sort of under the guise, under the cover of Odinism. I'm sure there are some very genuine, you know, non-racist Odinists out there too in the prison system who are genuinely getting together to share their religious beliefs. But there's certainly a lot of skepticism about the kind of white supremacist groups in prison using this.
Will, what do we know, if anything, about the numbers nationally and here in California? Are there members here in California?
I know for a fact that there are racist Odinists in California, and of course there are lots of heathens in California too. I mean, numbers wise, one of the difficult things about reporting this story is nobody's keeping track of this. I mean, there's no sort of census data on how many people identify as this. There was a study done by the Pew Research Center, specifically of the prison population, and what they found was, you know, Odinism, I believe it was sort of under 10% of the population. But when you looked at that as a subset, and you sort of asked people, they'd interviewed chaplains across the prison system, and one of the questions they asked was like, how prone are these people to radicalization and to holding radical beliefs? And when you look at that as a sort of a sub question of the Odinists, it was very, very high. So a large proportion of the Odinists, kind of, especially in the prison system, do tend to hold very extreme kind of worrying views.
Well, let's talk about radicalization and what they're capable of. I mean, some of them aren't just drinking meat in a basement and beating a drum in the woods. You report that there have been six cases since 2001 where professed racist Odinists have been convicted of plotting or pulling off domestic terrorist attacks. Tell us about one of these plots, what happened and how you reported that out.
So if you don't mind, I'll tell you about two, actually. There was a big one last year, in 2015, of two young men who were convicted of planning to set off. They were convicted of trying to rob a jewelry store. They were going to use the proceeds to go and buy guns and ammunition. And then their plan was to storm into African-American churches or synagogues and kill as many people as possible. That's what they were convicted of. Now, one of the real challenges with reporting this out, we mentioned it already, is this idea of, you know, are these people being driven by their religion? Are they coming to extremism through this religion, or are they just extremists and hateful people who also tend to sort of be Odinists on the side? And that was one question I really wanted to look into. And so I found this guy called Leo. He now goes by Leo Oladimu. He was originally Leo Felton, and he's a fascinating guy. He was convicted in 2001 of also planning to bomb the Holocaust Center in Washington, D.C. and in Boston. And he wrote an autobiography in which he describes his process of radicalization and how specifically Odinism was what really kind of tipped him over the edge into wanting to go out and kill people in the name of his religion. Mm. And it was once I got that, I got a window into that thought process. I also interviewed him over the phone in prison. It really crystallized for me that this radicalization process was going on within this religion.
And you interviewed several followers, including Odinist Brendan Lashbrook in Centralia, Illinois. He says he attended his first KKK rally as a child and later found Odinism. Let's take a listen to a clip from Lashbrook.
Later on, you know, I discovered paganism and occultism, and then later on after that, I discovered real National Socialism. You know, I found out that we were lied to about Germany and the Holocaust was a lie. And then I found out that Hitler didn't hate other races. He had volunteers from Africa, China, all over the world. People were trying to unite their National Socialism to keep the state communist Jews and bankers from killing the Europeans and taking over centralizing authority and power and just more control over finance, you know. And they all knew that and they were aware. And, you know, after I found the truth about National Socialism, that put everything into perspective even further for me, you know, as far as race and the need for our people to defend themselves and to be more organized and have a stronger sense of community.
Of course, the Holocaust did happen. It's a well-established historical event. More than 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazi regime, along with homosexuals, Roma, people with disabilities, political dissidents, and lots more. But, Will, how representative is Brendan Lashbrook of the belief system of Odinists?
Of the broader Odinist society, not at all, but of the Odinist that I talk to, very much so. I mean, he is. I would describe him as kind of, you know, one of these young men who's sort of the perfect dangerous cocktail. I mean, this is a young guy with not very much in his life, not very much going on. He's come to Odinism through that philosophical path that I mentioned earlier. He's read a lot of books, and he's, you know, fundamentally a racist and fundamentally a white supremacist. And so he's exactly the sort of guy. And one of the questions I asked him during my reporting was, you know, what do you see as dying in battle? Because, you know, obviously we're in 2017. What does dying in battle mean? And he said, look, that could happen in a confrontation with some Antifa, some anti-fascists, you know, at a rally. This guy attends rallies. So for me, he really embodies what I'm worried about, frankly, in this kind of subset of the human race, which is sort of young people with really nothing to lose, with very deeply held fundamental beliefs that involve possibly killing people in the name of their religion.
We're getting a lot of calls in. We're talking about the links between this ancient religion of Odinism and white supremacy with Will Carlis of Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. His story is at revealnews.org. Let's go to the phones. And Michael, you're on the air from Dallas, Texas.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was curious about the word religion, I'm trying to understand if this is a belief system, that people actually believe in the existence of these gods, or if it's more just as sort of a symbol of a culture that they identify with. I'm just wondering how you if you could talk about that.
Good question. Is Thor considered some kind of god, or is this a
It's a good question. I mean, within the people that I've spoken to, there's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of discussion about whether, as there is in Christianity and Islam and a lot of other religions, you know, about whether or not this is some sort of allegory, some sort of story that's a story and sort of a message for humanity, or whether it's actually, you know, whether there are these actual gods out there. And I think the only real answer is that it really just depends on the individual. You certainly have. I've spoken to Odinists who are very faithful people who really genuinely believe that the gods are real and they're out there. And then I've spoken to other ones who are more interested in it from a sort of an outside philosophical viewpoint in terms of a way to live your life and kind of guidance for life. So it's an interesting question. I think probably better suited for a linguist than for me.
Well, Sean writes in, Odinism is not all of modern Norse worship. There are many who practice this faith who are decent human beings. We outnumber the Odinists, but like the KKK or ISIS, they're noisy and give us a bad name. And Will, as we've mentioned, this is a small subset who've sort of hijacked.
I couldn't agree more with his sentiments. And one of the big, you know, one of the parts of research in this, I talked to, you know, professors who study this. I talked to other practices of Ásatrú, of Odinism, and you know, it is a shame for those people that we have to concentrate on these people. Mm. But ultimately, you know, although a small subset, they have killed people. They have plotted to kill people. They are today plotting to go out and kill people. And therefore, I think it's our job to pay attention to them and know who they are.
Will, you write about a poll of law enforcement officers that found that U.S. agencies considered anti-government violent extremists, not radicalized Muslims, to be the most severe threat of political violence they face. How concerned is the Department of Homeland Security or other law enforcement agencies you talk to about this subset and their propensity potentially for more violence?
Well, you know, we have to distinguish, of course, between the people running the Department of Homeland Security these days and perhaps 6 months ago. But I mean, I've spoken to, for example, I talked to a guy called Daryl Johnson, and he was actually kind of forced out of the Department of Homeland Security a few years ago because he produced a report that showed just how bad the sort of the far right terror threat is in this country. And he was like lambasted by conservatives and ostracized and eventually kicked out of the department. I talked at length with Daryl and with other sources at DHS about this, and they're really concerned about these groups. I mean, the way that they've termed it is, you know, it only takes one of these guys. It only takes one Timothy McVeigh. It only takes one radical person with radical viewpoints, with some sort of knowledge of whether it's firearms or explosives or something else, to go out and to cause a lot of havoc and a lot of pain. So they're concerned about anybody who has those beliefs, and so they're concerned about these Odinists.
A lot of calls coming in. Let's go to Eric in San Francisco. You're on the
Hello.
Air. Welcome to Forum.
Thank you. Odinism is a meritocracy. It is the actions of the individual which allows them to go to heaven or a version of heaven. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with gender. And it is not even necessary to believe in Odinism to be rewarded in such a way. So racism has no place in the religion. It doesn't make any sense. Secondly,
Eric, are you an Odinist or have practiced?
Yeah.
Okay.
The actions of the fascists in Norway during World War II should give these people pause. If they're going to choose this belief system, they should know the history of it. Thank you.
Valid point. I appreciate it. Let's take some more calls because this is a short segment. I think we're going to go to Tor in Hayward. You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hey. Yeah. So I'm, of course, named after one of the Norse gods. And I see this where the religion is hijacked and the tradition is hijacked, of course, by this group as with many others. And I see the parallel to how Muslims must feel with the stamp that we give them based on their terrorists. And the second question I have is, if this, and this is for the guest, is if this racist agenda of Odinists is specific to the U.S. or if you find that also in other countries.
Yeah, Will, you want to take that? We talked about the Norway attack, the last caller, but to talk about the world perspective.
I mean, worldwide, Odinism isn't very big outside of the United States, a little, you know, obviously Northern Europe, Scandinavia. In Scandinavia, especially in Iceland, I mean, this is a much more mainstream thing than it is in the United States. But as far as the racist element of it, it's certainly been mainly hijacked by sort of American white supremacists. That's where I've seen most of the action going on. But of course, you cannot, you know, one of the pieces mentioned, one of the horrible cases mentioned in my story is the case of Anders Breivik, who killed, I think it was 77 people in Norway. Initially, they identified him as a Christian. It's since come out, you know, that he's long been an Odinist. He actually named his rifle and his car after characters in Norse mythology. So it's definitely out there. I couldn't comment on whether it's kind of growing in popularity or anything like that outside the United States.
Yeah, I covered the Breivik attack when I was based in Berlin, and some of his Breivik's beliefs didn't come out till later, but it was interesting to see when it did. We got a bigger perspective on him. We're getting a lot of comments coming in. Ryan writes, please consult heathensunited.org for a strong counterpoint, an example of organized opposition to such groups in the Norse pagan community. Thank you, Ryan. Gerald writes in, I take issue with the term ancient religion of Odinism. Their beliefs are a modern reconstruction of older Nordic religions, heavily weighted by what they want.
That's a very fair point. I mean, look, there's a lot of discussion among Odinists, even among racist Odinists, about some of the about whether or not, frankly, the Eddas specifically relate to race, specifically talk about race. There's not very much that anybody in heathenism, if anything, that anyone in heathenism can point at and say, look, there's my sort of evidence for my racist beliefs in this religion. I think absolutely, not only is it a co-opting of the religious beliefs, but it's also, there's been a certain amount of, a lot of poetic license that's been given to the reading of these ancient texts by people to justify their beliefs.
Let's take some more calls. Abby, San Francisco, welcome to the program.
Hi, am I on?
You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. So my comment is perhaps slightly more anecdotal in nature and doesn't necessarily relate to the white supremacy aspect as specifically, but I was actually in prison in Ohio in 2011, and I just happened to be reading through their document on what were the official religions that you could practice there, happened upon Odinism and the whole description. And interestingly, it reminded me a lot of the sort of types that I had known here in California, who were sort of more Wiccan and, you know, into sort of more earth religions. It seemed like a complete aberration. It just seemed like it was so bizarre to see it listed there, because I couldn't imagine who amongst this with women's prison.
Abby, we're running out of time, so I got to cut you off, but thank you for your point. It's a fair point. And Will, you want to respond to that? You talked about the prison role as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely out there. I mean, religions are religions, you know, and there's not a lot of sort of proof for any of them, right? So I mean, what's bizarre to one person is completely normal to another person.
We've been talking with Will Carlos, correspondent for Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. You can check out his story at revealnews.org. We have a link as well at kqed.org/forum. You can check out Reveal's weekly podcast with Al Letson wherever you get your podcast feed. And Reveal airs here on KQED on Saturdays at 4. Will, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
A lot more to come. I'm Eric Westervelt. You're listening to Forum on KQED. Stay with us.